Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's Lee Greenwood. He's proud to be an American. I do believe that Lee Greenwood should be at every inauguration. Right? That should be that's the standard. He should be at every single inauguration. There should never be a question of whether or not Lee's going to be there. He should, and I'm sure he's conservative. I'm going to safe bet it and believe that he's a conservative, but I don't know. But either way, it doesn't matter because I think he should be at all these things. So he's going to be there along with Toby Keith and you got the Three Doors Down. Let's see here. Which holiday is going to be there? I forgot. Which holiday? Jennifer Holiday is going to be there as well. And so these are all the inauguration balls and whatnot. And, you know, and there's going to be the bands and all this stuff. And the hoopla, whoopla. And it's a week from today. So it's going to be very interesting to see what takes place as he ascends to the presidency a week from today. One of the things that really pushed him to first and foremost to prominent, then into the lead, and then eventually was, I think, one of the biggest talkers when it comes to him being president, i.e. Donald Trump, is immigration. And as we all know in this country, we have immigration issues that we need to deal with, and I blame both sides for these. I blame both sides for not wanting to deal with the problem. I blame both sides for being complicit in allowing so many people to come here. I blame both sides for playing political volleyball with human beings, not just people that are here illegally, but also with people that, like us, who are taxpayers, who want and are asking them to get something done with comprehensive immigration reform. Everybody gets a town hall except for producer Phil and I on CNN, and Paul Ryan got a town hall last night. And during the town hall, a woman stood up. She's an undocumented immigrant, illegal alien, a nomad, and now the new guy in Arizona calls them guest. Have you heard that? Whatever you want to call them. She's not an American citizen, and she hasn't come here in the legal way. She's an undocumented immigrant, and she asked Paul Ryan, do you think I should be deported?
Do you think that I should be deported and many of families in my situation should?
No. No, Angelica, first of all, I can see that you love your daughter and you're a nice person who has a great future ahead of you. And I hope your future is here. I'll even repeat the sentiment that our incoming president says. That's the problem he wants to focus on. This is not the focus. And so what we have to do is find a way to make sure that you can get right with the law. And we've got to do this in a good way so that the rug doesn't get pulled out from under you and your family gets separated. That's the way we feel. And that is exactly what our new incoming president has stated he wants to do.
I think, look, the wall is to stop. And at least it's not going to stop everybody. But if it can be somewhat of a deterrent, and it's not going to get built everywhere, quite frankly, I live in California. They've already got a way to make sure that wall doesn't get done. They're going to go with EPA and all kinds of regulations. There's no way you can build a wall here, blah, blah, blah. They'll find some sort of fish or a lizard or something that if you build this, it'll destroy their natural habitat so you can never have it. It's not going to get built. I've said that over and over again, and get ready for that. Donald Trump wants to focus on the things I think we all want to focus on. I think if we're honest with ourselves, again, it's been a win-win for us so far when it comes to people that are here illegally. It's been a win-win. You've had a cheap labor. And again, by cheap, we're not talking about you pay them a dollar and keep them at slave wages and hide them in the closet when you're done. We're talking about people that you can keep off the books that will work hard And you've got, you know, and the left has used it in a way to refill their coffers for, you know, eventually, if this goes the way that they hope it is, they'll have many, many millions of voters because they have been the ones that have, you know, propped up all of this stuff. Both sides have played the political game, and both sides have benefited in some way, shape, or form off this. The truth is, though, these are human beings. And amongst the 15 million, there's probably a good million plus that are wanted elsewhere for some very serious crimes that we need to weed out and kick out. But there are a lot of people like this lady, well, they've come here, they wanted a better life, their kids are here now, and these are issues that they're dealing with, the fear factor of who's going to kick in their door at night because they've been sold a bill of goods by the left that that's exactly what's going to happen on the 21st of January, is the doors are going to get kicked in and people are going to be dragged away. And that's not going to happen. Mr. Ryan continues.
We have to figure out how to fix this. But to do that, people need to have confidence that our laws are being followed and that we actually know who's coming and going, and that we actually have a secure border. So I think what's really important for this issue writ large to get fixed, and Jake mentioned that, you know, I have a background in this, we've got to make sure that these laws are being enforced, that we are controlling our border so violent criminals, repeat offenders, don't come in and do these kinds of horrific things. We've got a drug problem. We've got a lot of problems. We want to be able to secure our border. When people get confidence in this country that our border is secured, that our laws are being enforced, then I really believe the country, all people in the country, will be in a much better position to fix these thornier, bigger problems. But if you're worried about, you know, some deportation, you know, force coming on, knocking on your door this year, don't worry about that.
People will worry. People will worry. And there's crazies out there that follow Trump that'll go and they'll read all these crazy websites and they'll get ginned up over stuff like this and they'll want that and he'll feel pressure. It's not going to happen. It isn't. We as a nation are better than that. We're going to figure out a way to do this, I hope, in a right way. And I think Trump is going to have some solutions that we haven't thought about. And I think we now have some people in place that really want to find a true solution. And I think the thing is, having somebody like Trump in the White House is also going to put the fear of God into a lot of Democrats who are worried that Trump will be that person that says, we got to deport everybody. And because of that, I think they're more willing to come to the table now, when before they knew that it was just all a bunch of talk from everybody and nobody was ever going to do anything. So there was no fear. Jake Tapper then asked him about DACA.
If President-elect Trump wants to undo DACA, you would tell him don't do it.
Well, I think we have to come up with a solution for the DACA kids. And that's something we in Congress and the Trump transition team are working on, is what's a good humane solution?
Humane solution. Doing something right. What's the good humane? What's the right thing to do? What's the, again, we're not, first of all, we don't have the manpower or the resources to round up God knows how many untold millions. And it could be 13, it could be 20. Let's just put it at 15 and deport them. We don't. So we have to come up with a real idea on how to do things. I get text messages from people tonight saying, you don't know what you're talking about. I get emails from people saying, you don't understand. I understand. First and foremost, for all of those of you out there, I live near the border. I live near the border. I understand better than all of you, because in your homogenized society, of which most of you were living in for many years, I grew up in a different society. And I understand, I see what they're trying to do, what people are trying to do, what they're trying to do as they come here. They're looking for better. Again, some people are using us as a booty call. They don't want anything more than that. But a good majority of people want to come here because they see the opportunity. And in many ways, like I said yesterday, I admire them more than a lot of people out there sit on their ass here and beg and whine and moan. But I think Ryan's right. And I think the fear of what Trump may potentially do may push the Democrats into actually coming to the table and saying, all right, we definitely need to find a solution, just out of desperation and fear. But now, will that solution fit everybody to the exact that they want? No, never going to happen. Will there be some people that are hurt? Absolutely. Will there going to be some people that may be separated? Yes, absolutely. It's possible that it's going to happen, maybe on a large scale, maybe on a small scale. I don't know. But not every plan is going to be perfect. Some people will win. Some people will lose. The difference is you want more people to win and less people to lose. And I hope that we have the administration and I hope we have the want as politicians to take this on the right way and actually address the issues, see the human side of it, look at the benefits that we have gotten from it, take the people out that need to be out and keep them out, and do the best to enforce the borders the best way we possibly can. Will it happen? I'm hopeful for the first time in a long time that we will. But again, it's politics, and you never know in the world of politics. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. You can text the show 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter, so feel free to tweet at me as well. And check out ChadBensonShow.com. You can get TuneIn Radio, iTunes. You can download the podcast. Take it wherever you want to go. ChadBensonShow.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What the hell does that have?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Flo Rida is going to perform at the inauguration, which I would love to see, by the way. Flo Rida is probably my favorite of all the Ridas, but he's definitely my favorite of all of today's music. I love Flo Rida. It's just something about him. His songs are infectious. He's funny. I like him. Think he's a cool dude. But he has denied it and said, no, he's not performing there, even though apparently he was offered $1 million. Knows Donald Trump personally. Did some stuff with the Miss World pageant or whatever Donald had. And doesn't say anything bad about him. Just says he's not performing. Donald's got to work on it. Got to work on it. Still only three. That's sad. Sad, Donald. Sad, sad, sad. You can do better, Flo, man. $1 million. I would pay to see Flo. I would. Flo's the bomb. He just performed here a couple months ago. I like him. He brings it. His music is cool. And that girl that sings, whoa, whoa, I got a good feeling. Yeah. Parents, stop worrying about how much time your kids are spending on the old intranet and the tablet. It's according to the University of Oxford, which has a pretty good background in stuff that's educational and or, you know, doing things like this, studies. They looked at over 120,000 15-year-olds, checked out their well-being, and compared it to their screen time. And as parents, we're always worried too much screen time's not good because we didn't have screen time and we think they should live the way that we lived. So why not get them out there? Well, what they're saying is it's actually better for them. More screen time is better for them. It has positive impacts. In fact, well-being didn't peak until 4 hours and 17 minutes of computer use for the day. Started to dip just a bit after that. So there's really no zone we should worry about it. Now, the Chinese have a different study, but understand something, too. They found that too much internet caused brain shrinkage, while their psychiatrists say children can become hyper-aroused by gadgets, a condition dubbed electronic screen syndrome. But that's China, and let's be real. The more time you spend on the internet in China, the more that you will find out what other people around the world have as far as freedoms. And we're not just talking about you could buy a Ferrari because they got them over there, about a lot of other things. And so they probably want to limit you on that. But what they're saying is, look, each kid's different, but by and large, this is actually better. It's better than, and here's the thing that they're starting to notice, that the younger kids are retaining a good portion of this stuff. While we get older, we're letting the computer do more work for us. We've kind of become lazy, right? It's our partner in life. You need to know how to spell something? What you used to do when you were a kid? Go find a thesaurus. Learn how to spell it. I don't know how to spell it. It's this thing. The phone numbers, again, we talked about it yesterday. How many people of us know any phone numbers? Well, what they're saying here is the intelligence of computer use can enhance the life of teenagers overall. A chance that gives them real environment, helps them out with real relationships, and if they can develop that into relationships in the flesh, that's great. Remember, we are the people that are worried about them spending so much time. Again, I like Jack to go out and play, and he does that on his own. He's, you know, he's a boy, and I think boys, you know, they'll play the games and they have fun, but he's one of those boys where he's got a limit. Hour and a half, 2 hours of playing his video games and maybe watching something on Netflix, and he's ready to go shoot his Nerf gun somewhere. Right? He's ready to get. Now, as he gets older and he gets more involved in video games and more involved in some of this other stuff, will that potentially change? Yes, I could see that. But as of right now, he's kind of got that internal switch that says, I need to go out. I need to. But as in everything, and as in every study in life, as in every kind of thing that you read, you have to take it all with a grain of salt and realize that you know what's best for you and your child. You know what's best for you. What's best for me? What's best for you? Don't tell me how to raise my kid. I won't tell you how to raise your kid. If your kid sits there and is becoming fat and out of shape and doesn't want to do anything and is afraid to leave the house, there may be an issue there. It only wants to play on the computer. But I think for a lot of us, kids want to have fun and still get outside and do some stuff. It is Friday the 13th. It is rainy here and creepy. It's very interesting. Friday the 13th is associated with a lot of different things. Scary, creepy, where did it come from? But we here in America and around the world over the last 30 plus years have known it simply as the day that Jason Voorhees goes and attacks plenty of folk. Joining me next, CJ Graham, who actually played the iconic character in one of the movies. Straight ahead right here on the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You'll find out that I love movies. I love horror movies. I love all kinds of movies, but horror movies have always been my favorite. As a kid growing up, I fell in love with horror movies, and it expanded from the time when I was little and I accidentally got to see The Exorcist to all of the great slasher movies. And it's on this day, Friday the 13th, you think to yourself, what kind of character is out there? What kind of character would be out there on Friday the 13th? Joining us in a minute, CJ Graham's going to join us. He is a Sacramento area native who actually played one of the iconic characters in one of the Jason movies. And I've always just found interesting to think about how cool is that to play something like that? CJ's with us now. CJ, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, thanks for being here. You got a great story. You got to play one of the iconic characters, maybe in movie history. I mean, everybody knows who Jason Voorhees is. How'd you land that part?
You know, you're right. First and foremost, happy Friday the 13th, everybody. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
It is. You're right. It is an iconic image. I think it's a brand that's well-known just as a famous actor, be it Tom Cruise or whoever. You talk about the hockey mask, and everybody seems to relate to Friday the 13th. It is an amazing story. I was running a nightclub in the L.A. market and met some folks that had done the special effects on Part 4. Ted White played Jason in Part 4 and led to an introduction to Paramount Studios, Frank Mancuso Jr. and Michael Nomad and Tom McLaughlin, who was the director-writer. And as they say in the movies, the rest is history.
It is interesting because you meet these people. Somebody else, though, is playing Jason in part six, Jason Lives, and all of a sudden they're not thrilled by the fact that he doesn't seem to have the personality to play Jason.
Yeah, the way I understand it is, of course, I went in for the interviews. I didn't get the part, but I was, you know, I felt great that I had been put up for the part. Wow, you know, what a dream come true, considering I had never dreamed about doing stunts or any type of acting. And I didn't get cast. And apparently the individual that was cast, a stuntman, the first dailies came back and the menacing effect wasn't there on camera. So from my luck, they called me and Friday came me back down to Paramount Studios on Saturday. And Monday or Tuesday, I was on my way to Covington, Georgia to assume the role. In the movie, they did keep one scene from the other actor, which is the paintball scene, and you see the paintball splatter in the midsection. And if you look through the film, you can see there's a little difference in that physical structure compared to mine. But other than that, hey, I was off and running doing my own stunts and everything they asked of me to do.
Fantastic. Talking to C.J. Graham. He played Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. You know, here you are. You're playing one of these iconic characters, you know, and you have... Is it weird because, you know, it's like, do you go around and do you like, okay, you look at, is it Kane Hodder who played, has also played Jason on numerous occasions, some of the other people. Do you critique theirs? Did they decide who's got the better Jason? Who's the most menacing of all the Jasons?
Kane who?
Kane, what's his Kane name? Who? Kane Hodder?
Kane
Hodder?
Yeah, Kane. Kane. Who?
Yeah, never exactly.
Anyway, Kane and I, you know what's interesting? Of all the Jasons, Kane and I are probably the closest. Kane did do four of them. He did a wonderful job. You know, he had to pick up from part six, which the series took the different route of being somewhat of a zombie Frankenstein. And he had to step into my shoes, so to speak. And he was able to carry it for the four times that he did it. It is nice because we have a camaraderie among all the people, Steve Dash and everybody, Ari, who played number one. But it is huge from an iconic branding perspective that when you say Friday the 13th, everybody knows the Friday the 13th series. Be they a fan or not of the series, they know of it. And that's just huge. I mean, I don't use it very much for leverage, but I have been at TSA getting on an airplane and have a TSA agent look at my ID and look at me and say, did you play Jason? And I'm just amazed of the people that know the name C.J. Graham. I've been to Universal Studios walking with my family, and somebody will look at me and go, hey, aren't you C.J. Graham? And I'm flabbergasted that people actually know who I am from wearing a hockey mask.
That's fantastic. Talking to C.J. Graham, he played the iconic Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. You know, you did one of these, and you did The Highway to Hell, another one of these movies. Is acting something you're still interested in doing? Or because I know now you work in the casino industry, you work at Agua Caliente down in Southern California. Is it something that you're still interested in doing? And if they called you up tomorrow and say, hey, we're doing another Friday the 13th, or we're doing another movie, would you be interested in this? Or is this just something you did as a one-time thing? You got it off your chest, and now it's time to move on.
You know, if they called me today and we don't want to broadcast my phone number, I would be the first one to step up to the door, shake the hands and kiss the babies and kick some butt, so to speak. Iconically, to come back 30 years later, I do hear through social media, and again, you've got to distinguish between fake and real news, but I do hear that they are looking this year to reboot. I also understand they're going back to more of a retro Jason, which would be my era, rather than all the other things they've done historically going on. I'd love to step into that role 30 years later and to recapture that opportunity. I do think, you know, that whoever they select in the wide variety of good people that have done the show, that'll be successful. I do think going back to a better heyday, you know, when I did it, Tom McLaughlin was talking about the heyday of the Lon Chaney's Boris Karloff's, the 30s to the 60s, the werewolf, Frankenstein, and that's what he wanted to resurrect in the 1986 series. So I'm hoping they go back to more of a formula rather than just sporadically put Jason out there killing people.
What about the set? When you're on the set and, you know, you're familiar with the movies, obviously, and you're on the set, is anything fun happen? Is it weird walking around in the mask? Do you get yourself in that kind of character? Are you a character actor, if you will, you know, a la Daniel Day-Lewis and everybody refers to you as Jason? What was it like being on the set?
you know, for me, never being on a set, being introduced to Screen Actors Guild and getting a union card and not knowing what that meant, I still do have an actor's card. So I, going back to your last question, I could step into it, and all I'd have to do is make a phone call for my card. It's on an honorable withdrawal. But I didn't know the significance of the understanding. I mean, I would walk up and pick up stuff and help people carry stuff to the set when I was in wardrobe. I had a nice van bus that I was sleeping in, and I would let all the transportation people come in my bus and sleep because they were working 24 hours. So, you know, I was always opening my arms to everybody to be more of a team player. But that was something I learned in the military. You know, when you get into a foxhole, you better have the support around you. So I embraced the support a little differently than some character actors may be, but I enjoyed it, no different than Highway to Hell with Hellcop. Look, we are 30 years later and going, wow, look at Ben Stiller. He was in it for 10 seconds. His mother and father were in it. And some of those actors that have just become huge, huge hits and celebrities in the industry.
Who was your favorite person to kill on that set? Like, what's your kill that you remember?
Well, I remember every kill, to be fair, because I did 18 of them, and they were exciting to me on everyone. The more famous one I think that my fans like was when I took the sheriff and broke his back.
Oh, yeah, that was
pure,
awesome.
Pure force, because it's just taking a body and snapping it like a twig. That's original, you know? I mean, stabbing somebody with a spear, cutting somebody's head off, that's – but I challenge you to find the last time you saw somebody physically kick somebody and bend them in half like a pretzel and listen to the back break, and that's that. So I think that was an original Tom McLaughlin. Put that together, and it was, I think, in my opinion, the best kill we had. Some of the stuff that was cut out in 1986, too bad we still don't have it. When Horshack, if you recall, Horshack got killed in the first of the movie, when I pulled his heart out of his chest, it actually was beating in my hand, and it showed the blood, but it was just a little bit too severe for those days. It would have had to be an X rating back in 1986.
That's crazy. I forgot you killed Horshack. You killed his career, too. That's what was super crazy about that. Talking to C.J. Graham, he played one of the iconic characters in all of movies. He played Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th, Part 6. Jason Lives. You know, we got one more question. We'll let you live. You leave, and we appreciate you coming on this Friday the 13th, and we'll let you live. See the way I did that, Jason? See the way? Don't have sex, unprotected sex, because he'll kill you. Jason's mad at you, people. But you travel around now. Is it neat being able to do that? Because you get to go to these horror cons all over the world, and it's nice getting that validation for something you did 30 years ago.
Yeah, in fact, it's an honor because, you know, being a chief operating officer for two casino resorts in the Coachella Valley, as of next month, I'm going to step away from my career as an executive, and I'm going to just focus on, again, if there's opportunity to activate my acting again, I will. But I do the conventions periodically. I usually do one or two a year. This year, I've already booked seven, everywhere from Atlanta to Indianapolis to New Jersey to Germany. I just got an email the other day for somebody who wanted me to come to Holland to do one. So I've got one coming up in L.A. later on this year, and I got one coming up in mid-year in Phoenix. I am shocked of the demographics of the different generations that has passed through, to the 5-year-old that steps up to my table, to the 60-year-old that steps up to my table and remembers everything about the series. It's an honor, and I do take it seriously as an honor, and I'm very, very proud to have done it. And I look at the fans, and I say thank you every time I see them. Thank you.
Hey, who owns the Jason rights? Because you've got jasonvoorheesstore.com. You can go check out all the stuff there and where you're going to be. But are they cool with you going out and representing Jason? Are they cool with all the guys doing that?
They've never been a problem because, you know, we don't have the ownership. But my understanding is it's now back to Paramount, which is full circle. Paramount had the first eight, I believe, first eight movies, and then it went on to New Line and a couple others. But my understanding is, again, through the social media network, that Paramount now has control. So we'll see what happens with that as far as what they do. But they've never – but, again, somebody like me, I'm here to promote the brand, and I hope I speak well and positively because I want another generation to pick it up as it becomes iconic. So never had a problem with it. I think that we're out there promoting the movies itself. And if anything, it's a benefit because when the reboot comes out, people will have a newfound interest after meeting us at the conventions.
Absolutely. His name is C.J. Graham. You can check out JasonVoorheesStore.com. We appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so much, and have fun murdering a bunch of teenage girls later.
All right. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody.
Happy Friday the 13th to you. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. People are like, that sounds horrible. Somebody just turned the radio on, and I just said, have fun killing a bunch of teenage girls. That, by the way, is C.J. Graham. He played Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th. I thought it'd be fun to have him on this kind of day. We don't always have to be serious, people. We can have some fun. My goodness me. We should send him over to fight ISIS. How would that be? There's a movie right there. Phil, write it down. We're doing that. We're doing a movie. Freddie and Jason, and we'll get Michael Myers, and they'll take on ISIS. It'll be awesome.
I love it. I think it's a great idea.
It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Yeah!
Let's get crazy!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Awesome, awesome.
C.J. Graham, iconic figure there, playing one. How cool is that to be? I mean, you know, just being one of the 5-6 people that have played that kind of character that everybody in the world knows. If you say Jason, you go to the Philippines, Jason's played there. You go to anywhere in Europe, Jason's played there. Everywhere here, you go to South America, people know who Jason is. To play an iconic character, that's got to be awesome like that. Appreciate him coming on tonight on this Friday the 13th. Speaking of movies and whatnot, some movies opening up this week. A lot of movies out. This is usually the dump kind of week, the January, where they throw a bunch of stuff out there, stuff that they got made. It didn't do what they thought it was going to do in pre-screening, so they held it off. Instead of releasing it in the summer or the fall, they throw it out here in January. Although more and more movies are coming out in January and February because they realize there's little competition, and if they're good, they'll have sometimes 2 or 3 weeks with no competition. Monster Trucks, Jack and I will be seeing that. That's a movie about an alien thing that lives inside trucks, and it's for kids. Sleepless, that's the new Jamie Foxx movie. Patriots Day, that's Mark Wahlberg and what happened in the Boston bombing. Live by Night, which is Ben Affleck's new movie, which is getting horrible reviews. And The Bye Bye Man, which I will see, which is a horror movie, low budget, but Faye Dunaway's in it. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, she's in it. And that's a horror movie, kind of a take on The Slim Man or whatever that guy's called. So that's coming out. Tom Brady's going to play in the playoffs this weekend. It's its 32nd game. So it's basically two extra seasons. If you've ever seen Tom Brady when he was young, and they still show him at the combine. The combine's where all the NFL players go, and they work them out, and they measure them, and they see how much fat they have on him and stuff. He was kind of like this goofy, pudgy guy. You look at him now, he doesn't look like that. He's 39 years old, 20 years pretty much in the league. And now they say he's in better shape than ever, and it shows. It shows that he's in better shape than ever. He does something. First of all, if you want to be like Tom Brady and you think his life is glamour, there's a lot of glamour to it, but with that glamour comes work. Get ready for this. He does yoga. No big deal. He's essentially a vegan throughout the season, although during some times during the season, he'll add some lean meats, depending on how, how he feels. He works out with his private trainer during the season 3 times a day. He gets tons of sleep. He starts his diet like this, his typical day. Breakfast smoothie made with almond milk, a scoop of protein, seeds, nuts, and a banana. Mid-morning homemade protein bars, sliced up chicken breast on salad with whole grains, legumes for lunch, and a second smoothie as a snack. And for dinner, a quinoa with greens. Non-traditional workout is what he does, mostly with resistance bands, 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day again. And during the seasons, it is 3 times a day. It is amazing that what he is doing, but as they're looking at all of the things that he's doing, they measure each player, the Patriots do, before the season starts. And he is getting, the last 3 years, he has gotten stronger, he has gotten faster, he has gotten leaner. His arm strength isn't what it used to be, but it's still very good. It's crazy. But he does it all now. It's not weights. It's not that. It's all this kind of stretching, elongating of the movement, and using the resistance bands and those kind of, that stuff works. It does. And for what he does, it's perfect. And remember, he was never fast. If you ever watch the comp, just go Google him running. It's hilarious in the combine. He is not fast. He and I could have had a race to the slowest. We were like icebergs, is what I'm trying to say. Solid, fun week of shows. It's going to be wet and cold for a lot of you out there. For some of you, it's going to be beautiful. We are a week away to the new president. We'll have all the goodies next week leading up to Inauguration Day. And we'll do something big and fun, I'm sure, for that as we break everything down in the new Trump presidency. We follow along and you follow along. Check us out at Facebook, The Chad Benson Show, ChadBensonShow. You can tweet at me at Chad Benson Show. You can check out ChadBensonShow.com. Grab the podcast. Take it with you everywhere. Tune in radio app, iTunes and whatnot. You can also text us whenever, wherever, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. I'm off to Legoland tomorrow with my man Jack. As always, a solid week from Anthony Amazing, Scotty, my man Phil. Have yourself a wonderful one. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.